The date is November 11th, 1988, and we're watching Ernest Saves Christmas. Welcome to I Used to Like This One.
Merry Christmas!
Hello and welcome to I Used to Like This One, the show where we take a look back at movies we remember from our childhood and attempt to look past the nostalgia to see if they still hold up. My name is Sean Wells, and with me, as always, is the Vern, to my Ernest.
Hello, I'm Colin Stewart.
So, we are looking back at another Ernest movie this week, and well, we had her here for our last Ernest movie at Halloween time. So I need to welcome back our guest, Marissa Dingle. Marissa, welcome back.
Thanks for having me again. Long time no see.
Always a pleasure to have you. And, you know, we're here to talk more Ernest. We didn't punish Colin enough the first time with Ernest movies. We had to make him watch two of these movies this year.
Had to double down.
Yeah. So this week we are looking back at November 1988. Interestingly, just before we hit record, Marissa says to me, was it the last one on October 11th? And yes, Ernest Scared Stupid was on October 11th. And so Ernest movies really liking the 11th. It would be interesting to go back and look at all the other ones and see how many of them were on the 11th. Was there some weird 11 in Ernest? Anyway, November 1988, when the movies and theaters were tapeheads. Child's Play, go see episode 61 to see what we thought of Child's Play. Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers. The Howling 4, The Original Nightmare. And of course, our movie for today, Ernest Saves Christmas, which earned $28.2 million on a $6.5 million budget. And this is the only Ernest movie to see a theatrical release outside North America. So the other Ernest movie that we did, it was only a North American box office. This was worldwide. They made $28.2 million. So good for them.
Nice.
Go, Ernest.
And of course, there will be spoilers ahead. So if you don't want this movie to be spoiled for you, then please hit pause, go watch it, and then come back and hear what we have to say.
So the tagline that appears on the poster for this movie, well, this makes up for Scared Stupid, which was the only movie I've ever had with no taglines. There's two taglines here. The first is a holiday comedy unlike any other.
Well, sure. I guess that's true. I haven't really seen a similar movie.
What's interesting is I read that the original idea for this movie was that Ernest would take over the role of Santa. And, you know, Disney kind of made that movie a few years later with Tim Allen. So, you know, it's not unlike any other story. It started off as the Tim Allen movie.
I guess. But if the Santa Claus hadn't been created yet, then technically it was unseen up until that point. One could say that maybe the Santa Claus ripped off this movie, so.
Yeah. Well, I think it was like Disney made this movie, or Touchstone Pictures made this movie, and went, yeah, the original idea was better. Let's make that movie now.
Yeah.
Well, the other tagline, he's back, and this time, and then it goes into the title, Ernest Saves Christmas. So he's back, and this time Ernest Saves Christmas.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Why not?
Underwhelming.
A little bit.
And very undescriptive. So let's go to Colin and do a 60-second synopsis.
Okay. When Santa Claus arrives in Orlando to recruit his replacement, he's picked up at the airport by taxi driver Ernest P. Worrell. Santa explains his mission to approach a local children's television personality named Joe about filling his red suit and black boots. On the way, they're joined by a runaway named Harmony Star, fresh off a dine and dash and in need of a getaway car. When they arrive at Joe's location, Santa discovers he has no money, having mistakenly left it in the present of some kid. Ernest decides to let the old man have a free ride, which promptly gets him fired. Now jobless, Ernest notices Santa left his sack in the cab and endeavors to return it to him. Meanwhile, Santa finds Joe to be a reluctant recruit, having just been offered a big-time movie deal. To make matters worse, an elderly man going around claiming he's Santa Claus causes people to raise some eyebrows and lands Santa in jail. While all this is happening, two dock workers try to make sense of some strange packages that turn out to be Santa's flying reindeer. Ernest breaks Santa out of jail so he can take another stab at convincing Joe to take the reins. Ernest and Harmony, whose real name is actually Pamela, play with Santa's sack and discover it's magical. Pamela decides to steal it and run away again, trusting that she'll have a change of heart. Santa sends Ernest to retrieve his reindeer, which he does with the help of some helper elves. This leads to Ernest flying Santa's sled around the globe, while Santa makes a final appeal to Joe to preserve the magic of Christmas. In the end, Joe summons snow, Pamela comes back with the bag, and Ernest arrives with the sleigh in time for Joe to make his inaugural Santa delivery with Ernest in the driver's seat and Pamela along for the ride. Everything is wrapped up, Christmas is saved, and old Santa, now free of his Christmas duties, is off to get some action. And that is your 60-second synopsis.
Yeah, he is. Get that, Santa. So, yes, Ernest Saves Christmas is, I think I explained the first time that Ernest was a big part of my life when I was a child. And Ernest Saves Christmas, though, was one of those annual traditions that was a big one. Like, Scared Stupid was one I didn't really know. This one, though, was an annual and actually sometimes a few times around Christmas, but only for a short period of time, and then I haven't watched this movie in probably 20 years. So, you know, but my history with Ernest is, boy, did I love this movie at one point in my childhood, until movies like Die Hard took its place.
No, you didn't.
This was the original My Die Hard, you know? But, you know, also movies like Scrooged and Christmas Vacation, once they were more age-appropriate for me, Ernest got pushed aside. It's been a long time since I've seen Ernest. What is your experience, Marissa, with Ernest Saves Christmas?
Same as last time, kind of. It's like, Ernest was always something that you're like, well, if it's on, sure. Or like, if you're in the mood for Ernest. I can't say it was like an annual thing for me, even though it is like a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
But, like, Ernest in general, it's the same kind of thing. Like, I actually own three of these movies, and it has still been decades since I've watched them. Yeah. So, yeah, kind of, it was around, but it wasn't, like, a staple of my Christmas season.
Yeah. Okay. Now, Colin, you listed a couple Ernest movies you had seen as a child last episode. I don't remember, I don't think Christmas was one of them, though. Have you ever seen Ernest Saves Christmas?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm fairly certain I have not.
Okay.
Only because, and the only reason I think that is, now that you mentioned the Santa Claus, is the Santa Claus was a big movie in my childhood, and I feel like I would have drawn the lines
yeah.
of being like, oh, that was like in Ernest. So,
well, I mean, Ernest, though, Santa is retiring, whereas he just straight up gets murdered in the
This movie also came out in 1988, so I would have only been 2 years old.
Oh, well. Okay, yeah, that makes a difference. Yeah, okay, fair enough. Well, yeah, I mean, I also found it interesting that as I kept looking up this movie, it kept calling it Ernest Saves Santa.
I saw that too.
So, did they change the name of this movie at some point?
I don't know. They're all strange. Like, neither of those titles really is what the movie is about to me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really feel like Ernest Saves Anything, to be honest.
I also thought that.
I thought maybe it's like when Disney changed the title of, like, the Star Wars saga. They changed them, made them all officially Episode 1, Episode 2, all that sort of thing. Or I guess maybe that happened pre-Disney, but still, it's, you know, name changes sometimes happen to movies. So I just wonder whether when it dropped on Disney Plus or something, it, you know, is it on Disney Plus? I watched it on...
It is on Disney Plus, actually.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I think it's the only Ernest movie on Disney Plus.
Was it Santa there, though? I mean, like, it's just...
No, it was Ernest Saves Christmas there.
Okay. Yeah. Just IMDb wants to call it Ernest Saves Santa. I don't know. I don't get it. Well, let's jump into Ernest Saves Christmas, because that's what we're here to talk about. Directed by John R. Cherry III, same as Scared Stupid. Produced by Stacey Williams and Doug Claiborne. And written by Ed Turner, who has one other credit called Winners Take All in 1987. And B. Klein. This is his or her only credit. It's literally, that's all their IMDb is B. period Klein, and they are known for writing Ernest Saves Christmas. So that's it. Here we go. This is the first ever movie that was filmed at the Disney MGM studio in Orlando, which is now the Hollywood Studio Orlando, at Disney World there. It's also the first Hollywood movie filmed entirely in Florida, which I found to be an interesting stat that I don't know if I believe when I read it, because how could no other movie have ever been filmed entirely in Florida?
What about Bad Boys?
Well, yeah, that's true. But Bad Boys was after this.
Yeah.
So this just, set the bar for Bad Boys. Bad Boys looked at Ernest Saves Christmas and was like, well, fuck, if Ernest can do it, we can film there too.
I'm sure that was their thought process.
I just looked up John R. Cherry III. He's actually credited as the creator of Ernest P. Worrell, and he directed every movie, and the commercials and the TV series.
Huh. He is the colonel to Jim Varney's Elvis, huh?
I guess so.
Yeah. So we're right into this movie with Deck the Halls, and we've got classic pictures of Santa Claus, the Norman Rockwell painting style. And right there in the opening credits, we have Coca-Cola Santa Clauses. So I'm going to do a very early Christmas sponsorship corner. It out of the way early. Merry Christmas to me. I get to do sponsorship corner early. Always on the lookout for product placements and movies. This week, Ernest Saves Christmas is brought to you by Coca-Cola, Chevy, GMC, Ford, Mercedes, and Nissan, National Car Rental, Ryder Trucks, Eastern Airlines, Amtrak, BIC, Wrangler Jeans, Converse, the Orlando Sentinel, and FTD Flowers. Plus the few that were a little Google resistant, Air Express International, Superior Talent Incorporated, and Magic Fan Attic, whatever the fuck that is. And this has been Sponsorship Corner. And I guess brought to you by Santa and Christmas Magic.
Oh boy.
So, just like my favorite Christmas movie, Die Hard, we cut to a plane landing. That's how this movie opens, just like Die Hard does. but Santa is in Florida. I love I probably as a child would not have understood everything the layers that are going on in this scene with the one guy talking about one job. And Santa talking about his other job, but they both think it's just normal talk, According to Santa's passport, he's from Prussia, though.
What?
Yeah, he's from Prussia. That's what his passport says.
I missed that.
I mean, they said it like a... Well, no, I guess because passports expire and he's clearly been Santa for a long time. I was going to say maybe that was his, like, old... His old, wherever he grew up.
Yeah.
He grew up in.
But isn't the North Pole in Canada?
Well, that's what Canadian propaganda would have you believe. But, I mean, it could very well be in, like, Russia.
No, Prussia with a P. Prussia. Like, isn't that, like, that's not even a civilization that exists anymore, isn't it? Didn't the Prussian Empire die a long time ago?
Well, is Prussia not, did it not used to be a country between Germany and Russia?
Something like that. I don't know.
Like, it no longer
history
exists.
History corner.
But, yeah, Prussia was a German state on the southeast coast of the Baltic Sea. See if I can pull up a quick map here.
Well, that's definitely not the North Pole. But he said he took over for a German fellow. So I guess that kind of makes sense then. But like you said, this passport's got to be over a century old.
Yeah.
And is Prussia still a state? I don't think it is. No. I don't think Prussia still exists.
Yeah. No, Prussia ended in 1871.
Yeah, okay, I was right about that. Died a long time ago.
Yeah, it seems...
So he got past security because pre-9/11 they just didn't care.
Oh, no, never mind. It dissolved in 1947.
1947. It says. Okay. That's still long enough ago, though.
I mean, Prussia is kind of north, but it's like... It's like just below, like the Scandinavian countries. So,
you know, it's north-ish.
You guys are really stuck on this.
So, for anyone just tuning in, we're trying to figure out where Prussia is. Okay, well, okay. This Santa is from Prussia. Seth, whatever his name is from Prussia. So, okay.
Glad we got to the bottom of that.
We can all rest easy now tonight, guys.
That's right. I mean, if we've got a history teacher that listens to our podcast, he's just sitting there cringing the whole time. Or she. Yeah. So Santa gets stamped through because the customs agent just doesn't care in a pre-9/11 world, so just Santa gets through. The airport's busy, whatever. That's more important than security in this shady-looking old guy. Santa goes out to the street, and he needs a taxi. Well, luckily, we have Ernest trying to get away in a hurry, and so Santa Claus gets into that taxi. Oh, no, wait, sorry. Ah. I kind of jumped a little bit ahead. Ernest is, we get to see Ernest driving his taxi first and trying to get to some guy to the airport on time, and he steps on it. I couldn't help but notice that Ernest drives taxi 69. I don't know whether that's intentional or an accident. Like, I don't know whether someone's trying to hide a little message into this, you know, seemingly children friendly movie.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, I was gonna ask you, Sean, since you're the expert. How is Ernest acting driving? How's John Varney doing here?
He's doing okay. I don't know. His is more action packed driving. So, I don't know. I wasn't really paying attention to it this time. I guess it wasn't annoying enough for me to take note. There we go. How about that?
I mean, that's good enough for me.
Yeah. In the airport, did either of you notice the woman who has a hat made of shoes?
What? No.
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm so disappointed now.
It was like a bunch of high-heeled shoes all like piled up into like this crown-like hat.
Marissa can rewatch it and let me know if it's actually there.
I'll take a screenshot of it for you.
Thanks.
So yeah, ultimately, Santa ends up getting into Ernest's cab, though. Do you think there's actually any consistency in the overall Ernest timeline? Like, the Ernestiverse?
No, but I would really love if there was, like, a little hobo-esque thing, like, at the end of every episode that just showed... Because, like, seemingly, I've only watched two of these movies now, but seemingly he gets fired from every job he has... Yeah. So I just imagine that after he saves the day,
puts a bindle on his shoulder.
Yeah, and just hops a train or hitchhikes to the next town. And I mean, because there was movies in between this one and Scared Stupid, which we watched back in October. I'm curious, if is there a movie where he picks up Rimshot? Like, when does Rimshot the dog come into play? Because he's not here now.
I remember reading back in that movie that Rimshot only does appear in two movies. I forget what the second one is. I'm drawing a blank. But I guess the dog was contractually obligated to be in the second movie. The dog had signed a contract for two movies. And so,
oh, my God.
Yeah, Scared Stupid was the first of the two movies that the dog appeared in.
Okay.
Yeah. So we find out, well, yeah, I mean, it was the whole, the brothers or the buddies, like, is that a different guy? The Chuck and Bobby? Like, Bobby is the same, but is the big fat guy that's with him a different guy in this one?
You mean, like, from the brothers in Scared Stupid?
In Scared Stupid, yeah, the Tulip Brothers.
Yeah, I was wondering about that, too. I was going to ask you guys about that as well. Like, is Ernest also the type of movie where, like, different people show up time to time playing different roles? Like, it's like a weird ensemble cast.
I think the Bobby guy is in most of them. For sure. Yeah. Always has some sort of role. Yeah, like, every Adam Sandler needs an Alan Covert or a Rob Schneider, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we have in the cab, we have the moment where a Christmas tree falls off of a truck and Ernest risks his life to save this tree. And Santa knows that he's got Christmas spirit, like the best Christmas spirit. And that's the moment where I thought, wait a minute, am I remembering this movie wrong? Does Ernest become Santa? Yeah, I didn't remember the movie well enough.
I don't know what you guys think, but when I see a title that says Ernest Saves Christmas, like, I'm imagining, like, you know the episode of Family Guy where Death breaks or, like, rolls his ankle and then Peter has to be Death? Like, I thought we were going to have that situation with Ernest and Santa Claus.
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing. I'm like, I didn't remember enough of this either, and because of the title, I was assuming the entire time that at the end of it, at some point, Ernest was going to become Santa. I was certain of it.
Yeah, or even just for the one night. Like, there's a part of me that would have liked to have seen him coming down the chimney and knocking over trees and stuff. Like,
and actually save Christmas?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like, there's so much comedy to be had by that being the story. Like, how does Ernest go down the chimney for the first time? How does he take the reindeer on a roof and completely overshoot it and, like, just to end up in a weird sleigh car accident?
Yeah. So we end up getting the meet cute with the girl Harmony ripping off the restaurant, and she ends up in the cab with Ernest and Santa. Oh, how adorable. She meets them dine and dashing, and now they're all, like, fugitives. Because they're accomplices at this point. But I read that this girl, her name is Noelle Parker, the actress. It really threw me off because I saw that she played Veronica in Clerks. And I'm like, what? No, she didn't. She didn't play Veronica in Clerks. But it was a Clerks short film that has Jim Brewer in it. And so she played, like, the spoof version of Veronica from Clerks. And this Clerks, it had me really confused. But this actress, Noelle, her birthday is Christmas, and, you know, I wonder why she was named Noelle, but apparently she was a little promiscuous, and so the director actually assigned people to keep her from getting too friendly with the crew. Yeah, she would have been, like, 17, but she, yeah, wow. they had to kind of keep an eye on her to make sure that she didn't, yeah, try to convince some crew member that 17 was old enough. I mean, they were in Florida. It probably is old enough in Florida. So. Maybe our Boca Raton listener can write in and tell us if we're right.
Wow. That's why after this movie, they just got little kids.
Oh, gosh.
No, these are clearly too young. So Santa doesn't have any real money to pay, And so I like the idea that some kid has received actual thousands or maybe millions of dollars in a Monopoly set somewhere. But he doesn't have $32.50, so Ernest decides to give it to him on the house. And yes, it gets him fired, like Colin mentioned in his 60-second synopsis. And so Santa, though, we get to meet Joseph Carruthers, who is the man that Santa's there to see. And, of course, we have the guy that pulls up in a Mercedes, so we know immediately that he's a douchebag. But apparently this is the only movie that doesn't have, like, a clear villain. Like, the closest that we have to a villain is this agent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, the real villain is just the seeds of self-doubt and personal desire and commercialism. Those are the true enemies of Christmas.
Yeah. But the lessons we learned are the friends we made along the way or something, right?
What a long, strange road it's been.
Dance like no one's watching. So
this is a very interesting episode so far, guys. I'm just saying.
So Santa has left his sack in Ernest's cab. And luckily, though, the guy that fires Ernest is willing to throw the sack at him instead of just keeping it for himself. I mean, you fire the guy, it's like you might as well just keep everything. I don't know. But now Ernest seems to have adopted a girl. Like, this girl ends up becoming his partner for the rest of the movie. And it's like, where are your parents, little girl? Like, why are you following this strange man around and living with him? And I don't like the vibes that I'm getting off this girl.
Well, she was clearly up without her supervisor.
It is kind of crazy. Like, I was just thinking, in a world like pre-internet and cell phones and stuff, like, if a kid just ran away, they could literally just be out in the wind. Like, how would you find them again?
Yeah, that's what the whole pictures on milk cartons was for.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, you know, nowadays a kid goes missing and all of a sudden I hear, you know, everybody's cell phone around me buzzing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So because Ernest gets fired, he decides to take his tree over to his buddy's Vern's house and we get the Vern scene. I mean, this was Ernest's bread and butter. Like, you know, for Colin especially, if you did not know Ernest from the commercials and everything, this is the Ernest that, like, really launched him into superstardom.
Yeah, it's weird, though, because in the movie, not knowing any of that, it's very off-putting, that scene. Because you're just like, what is this? Why all of a sudden have we switched to this weird first-person camera?
Yeah. This is actually the only one of Ernest's movies where Vern, you know, quote-unquote, appears.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's the other reason why it's so off-putting, is because if they had done it in the other movie that you watched, you know, for Halloween, it's like, yeah, okay, then it might have made sense, but there was no Vern in that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Santa ends up getting arrested because everyone thinks he's crazy. Or, well, no, actually, I want to go back to the Vern scene. I really did enjoy, though, the physical comedy in the Vern scene. I mean, you know, I gotta go back to Colin because we keep bringing up conversations about physical comedy. What did you think of, like, the whole, like, ripping the wire out and trying to get the tree set up? I mean, to me, it felt very much like Goofy come alive.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good way of putting it. Yeah, it's very cartoonish. But also just, I don't know.
I mean,
it's just like not my type of comedy.
Yeah, I mean, you said off-putting just because of the style of it, but I was wondering whether you found what was actually happening in it, though, amusing at least, or entertaining.
Yeah, I thought like the scene itself, once you kind of got over the weird perspective shift, was fine. And it was like one of those things where you're kind of like, oh, I knew this was something, yeah. But just not having the reference, I didn't know. But I thought, like, yeah, what they were doing was funny-ish.
Yeah, yeah. So Santa ends up getting arrested because everyone thinks he's crazy at this children's museum. Okay, they say children's museum. I don't see the museum. Like, to me, it looks like it's like a children's sick hospital, and museum is just code so that, you know, kids think that they're going somewhere fun instead of the long-term ward at the children's hospital. I don't know. It just, like, where was the museum? Did I miss a scene?
Yeah, I didn't get that either. I thought they were at, like, some sort of school.
Yeah, okay.
When he shows up, I could be wrong, but I swear he's in a classroom.
Yeah, or something. I mean, yeah, he's reading a story in some sort of room. So is it like, you know, nowadays I'm so used to my local library being so fancy that this museum was what the equivalent would have been in 1988? It's like, oh, that's just what a library is now. Somewhere that has a, you know, a side room where someone can sing a song or read a story.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah. So Joseph Carruthers, who Santa hasn't actually been able to talk to yet because this slimy agent keeps getting in his way and, you know, and he gets arrested and everything. But so Joseph Carruthers ends up going on an audition and he nails it. And he and his agent are walking down the hall and there's the poster for something called Space Commies from Hell. I want to know what that movie is.
Let's take a stab at it. I mean, it sounds to me like, have you guys seen the trailers, or maybe you've seen the movies, but it's called Iron Sky. It's like where it's post-World War II and the Nazis like had like a space force essentially. And they built an army up on the dark side of the moon.
Nice.
And then they're like coming back to, they're coming back to Earth to like finish Hitler's mission.
Wow.
That's what I imagine like Space Commies from Hell might be like.
Oh, man, those Nazis. You gotta look out for them. They're slippery bastards. Yeah, I guess it could be that, something like that, or something to do with Sputnik. Because then it's like, oh, wait, what if the Russians really did do something different back then and they sent some commies into space? So same idea, but not with Nazis. Like, we're dealing with, you know, when the space race was actually on in the 60s.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Okay. Space Nazis from... But they're, oh, but they've got to be some sort of zombie or demon or something because they're from hell. You hear they're making a Constantine 2? Who the fuck wants to see that?
I did hear that. I have no idea. Seventeen years later, you make a sequel to a movie that nobody liked in the first place? What the fuck is the point?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Keanu Reeves will just do anything now. Oh, it has a number after the title? Okay, done. Hey, good for him.
What did you guys think of, like, Santa's plan here? Did either of you think that Santa's kind of a dummy, the way he's going about this?
To find his replacement, you mean?
Yeah, but also the fact that, like, he just literally goes around outing himself as Santa Claus the whole time, is as if, like, nobody's gonna be like, oh, like, you clearly have some sort of mental illness. Like, you think you're an old man who thinks he's Santa Claus. Like,
yeah.
Part of me watching this movie was thinking, like, about the psychology of Santa. And Santa has to be, like, a very wise and smart man to pull off what he's been able to pull off for hundreds of years. But then all of a sudden, when it's time for him to find his replacement, he's just, like, goes to all these people and tells them he's Santa as if they're not going to look at him funny.
He's just a senile old man. I mean, what's funny is this guy is actually the voice of the Sultan in Aladdin, and it's like, oh, that's kind of how he played Santa in a way, is like the Sultan in Aladdin.
Hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it's true. This, you'd think that he would have better resources at his disposal. I mean, or is it just because he's waited too long? Because he's like, ah, I should have done it last year, but I didn't do it. Because he keeps saying the magic is wearing out.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be that, yeah, he's just turning into a senile old man at this point. He's got one day of magic left.
Yeah, it's also kind of curious that he thought, like, to ship the sleigh and reindeers to the town to just, like, hang out and wait till this guy was ready. Like, you're Santa. Like, couldn't you just Couldn't the elves fly the? They were gonna go pick it up anyways. Couldn't they have just flown it from the North Pole?
Yeah, yeah. That's another thing that I was thinking. Yeah, no, it's not a very well thought out plan. And to bring it back to the question that you did ask, no, I don't think he went about doing this the right way. He really should have been incognito. He really should have been, you know, it's almost like Grandpa went off his meds and he escaped the old folks' home and the elves need to corral him. You know, it's like, uh-oh, someone let Grandpa out to do his thing and he's just gonna mess it up.
Yeah.
And that's what he does. Yeah, God, he can't even bring real money. He doesn't remember how money works? Come on. Come on. Like, are you telling me that you don't own a TV? Like, are you telling me that all 365 days of the year are devoted to toy making for the next Christmas? You've gotta know something about how the world works, man.
I think he knows how it works. It was just a quick slip of be like, yeah, here you go. What do you mean that's not real money? Whoops, I switched it out. Like, I think he knows.
Maybe he knew it was fake. You know, he's like, oh no, they won't notice. He was trying to scam his way through.
It's funny because the one line in this entire movie that drives me nuts is the "you should trust people more often." And I'm like, what? Yeah. You have a naughty list. What do you mean? Like all of these things of people deceiving him while he's down there. I'm like, but he sees you when you're sleeping. He knows he knows if you've been bad or good. So what?
Yeah.
I mean, you guys are both in Elf the Musical. What do you think?
And?
What do you think? Well, it's just, I'm just thinking, like, from my recollection, the elves do all the work on the North Pole.
Exactly.
What is Santa doing the other 364 days of the year?
Yeah.
Spying on us.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
And making his list.
Well, Colin, you and I watched The Shining. I mean, you know, it's very possible that being alone in that house in the snow with just his wife, you know, I don't know. Well, all work and no play makes Santa a dull boy.
I mean, that's chronicled very well in one of my favorite Weird Al Yankovic songs called "The Night Santa Went Crazy."
That's
so.
Right. Yes. Yes. I mean, you know, cabin fever could be a problem for Santa. You never know. He's 151 years old. How many years of isolation does this man have to deal with before he snaps? Yes.
I just had an idea for like a. You know what? I'll save it for myself. No, I was gonna say, what if being Santa is a curse that's like just passed on to one person from the other? Like, ooh. if you stay Santa for too long, maybe you just go mad.
Oh right, yes, okay. TM, TM, TM.
Yeah.
Copyright.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah, a dark twist on the Santa Claus idea. I like that. Yeah. Oh. I think I know a side project, Colin.
Yeah, there we go.
So after destroying Vern's house, Ernest goes outside for some bolt cutters and is tempted to look inside the sack. And that's when Ernest realizes that, yes, it is him. It's Santa. He's telling the truth. So, you know, but if it's him, where's the sleigh? And we cut to the airport where we see them all in their crates and then these dummies have no idea what a reindeer is. Like, I don't understand how they can be that naive that, like, what were they calling them? Like, weird, like, space lizards or something like that? Like, they weren't even coming close to reindeer, whatever they were calling them. I just don't remember what it was.
They were calling them, like, I want to say, like, Appalachian goats at one point or, like, some weird.
Oh, yeah, something like that, yeah. But they don't even know how to read a bill of lading, and that's their job, so. That's also a problem. Or was the writing just that bad on it? Like, was it hard to read?
That's the impression that I got. And we all know that there's some bad writing out there, so I mean.
Okay. Oh, there we go. Apparently, though, these deers, yeah, because that was, these deer had to be shot 2 months later than the actual movie. because they had been flown to Florida from Canada. And it was so hot in Florida that their antlers shed off. I did not know that this happened to reindeer. But, like, their antlers shed to the point that all they had was pink, bloody nubs.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
And they tried like, makeup and prop antlers, but, like, the deer hated it. They wouldn't have it. They wouldn't wear these things.
Those poor deer.
So they ended up having to film them 2 months later after the antlers had grown back and shot them in Nashville. So, yeah. It's just like, really? Wow. I did not know that a reindeer's antlers did that.
Hold on. Can we rewind for a second?
Yeah.
I thought we discussed at the beginning of this that this is the first movie entirely shot in Florida.
Yeah. There we go.
Wow.
Yeah.
Lies.
Nice. Ruse.
It was all a ruse.
There we go. See, I also say, though, I don't know if I believe that fact. I didn't even put that piece. I didn't even put that piece in. Wow. So Santa, we see him in the rough-looking cell. I like the moment, though. Like, you know, the initial moment of him getting thrown in the cell, and you're like, uh-oh, Santa's in trouble. Yeah. But eventually he gets all these hardened criminals singing the 12 Days of Christmas. And I thought that was a fun scene. So this is something that, you know, I mentioned back in our Scared Stupid episode that the other story being the troll, where the troll doesn't talk and have any, you know, emotional depth or anything. This is the perfect example of how this is better, because the Santa story is also compelling and Ernest is shifted to the side a little bit. It's not just an Ernest story. You're watching, you know, Santa's story is a solid B story, a pretty hefty B story.
I would say that the Santa story is the A story. I think that Ernest is like just the spice.
I was going to say the same thing. I'm like, I almost feel like we see Santa more than we do Ernest in this one.
Yeah. Well, see, interestingly, I did read that they had a script for this movie and there was no Ernest in this movie. And so they just ended up shoehorning him in. Like, this was not written as an Ernest movie. And it's like, okay. That's the good way to use Ernest.
Yes, maybe that is the Ernest formula right there.
Yeah, yeah. There's a scene where Ernest goes back to find out what happened to the old man, and I noticed that, like, he's got one eye that's like crazy pink. I think Jim Varney like had a sty that day or something. I don't know. He just has this one crazy pink eye. Just an interesting detail I noticed. I don't know. But they break into the police station in disguise to break Santa out. See, and unlike Scared Stupid, where they just had the montage of him doing a bunch of characters, it was fun whenever he put on one of these disguises to actually break into somewhere or, you know, like, you know, sneak his way in. Again, a better way to use Ernest.
Yeah, in Scared Stupid, I didn't really get it. Like, and here it actually seems it's part of the purpose of the plot and the scene. In Scared Stupid, it was
an inspirational speech with characters.
Yeah, it almost seemed more like hallucinogenic.
So we find out, though, that, yeah, the pressure is on. Santa's magic and power has to be transferred by 7 o'clock that night. We also get a bunch of real heart in this movie too, which I kind of enjoyed. Is the like Santa trying to talk to Harmony, but she gets all like deflecting with her answers. But he's, you know, trying to talk to her about her family and all that sort of stuff. And it's like, aw. Like this movie has a lot more heart than Scared Stupid does as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately, before I can even get to the end of this episode, it's pretty clear that I already feel like this is by far the better movie between this and the other Ernest movie that we've watched on this show. So, but next up, we have to break into the studio lot to find Robert so that Santa can get his magic transferred to Joe. So it's time for another Ernest disguise. This is the Snake Wrangler one. Oh, boy. The Snake Wrangler one was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I like Santa underneath the tarp with the rats.
Yeah.
So it looks like Joe is on set filming a sweet looking Christmas movie, but then we get this like swamp monster that comes in, and Joseph can't say son of a bitch. And we find out that the movie is called Santa's Sleigh, S-L-A-W.
Slaw? I think you mean why.
Yeah. A little dyslexia. Yeah.
No, it says slaw now.
With the festive coleslaw.
Yeah. Santa's slaw. Yeah. It's made with candy cane pieces cut up.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
Coleslaw with just like a little bit of mint.
maybe it's actually like a dessert coleslaw, right? You know, you still have to have the cabbage in there for it to be. I think you still have to have a vegetable for it to be a slaw. Or yeah. You use like apple or something, right? You know, you make an apple base. You know, but you put in some candy cane bits and marshmallow bits and you know. Make an ambrosia salad type thing. Yeah. I don't know. Yes, S-L-A-S-S-L. Jeez, S-L-A-Y. Yes.
There you go.
Slay. Yes. Not spelled with all the G-H's and E's and I's in some sort of order. Joseph Carruthers, though, because he can't swear, he tries to, like, pull some sort of power move and he's like a nobody. I like that moment where he tries to be like, no, I have demands. I want the script changed if I'm gonna stay. But they're like, who are you? Oh man, maybe they're the evil people. See, maybe there are bad guys. I shouldn't believe trivia anymore when I'm researching these movies.
The trivia? Oh, like if the agent is the... Sorry.
Well, it just said, you know, the trivia told me that this is the only Ernest movie not to feature a bad guy, and it's like, well, you know, not only is the agent kind of a bad guy, but so are like the studio executives. They're also kind of bad guys, you know.
Yeah, I think this is just more of like a bad side versus like one central villain.
Yeah, okay, sure.
It's a battle of good and evil.
Yeah, like they're not. I wouldn't say they're kind of just like doing their. They're kind of just doing their job.
Yeah.
Like, they're not, like, purposefully... Like, I would say they would be bad guys if they, like, kidnapped Santa and drove him to the outskirts of town and left him there. Beverly Hills Cop style, like...
Yeah. Sure. Well, all the guy wants is to not have to say bitch. But he's okay with the violence, right? Like, he's okay with murdering this creature. He just doesn't want to say bitch because he's got the squeaky, clean image. Like, how violent was his kids' show when he had it?
Yeah. I mean, I guess, are they just, like, really trying to show his, you know, is that his good side? His good, sweet yeah. wholesomeness? Like, that's what Santa sees in him that makes him the next Santa, is just his inability to say bad words?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So, Harmony ends up stealing the Santa sack. And Santa loses Joe too. Harmony just is emptying the sack. Like, what I don't understand is, does she put everything back in? Because when they end up coming to the house, she doesn't have a room full of things from the sack, even though she gives them a fake sack. But does she know the reverse magic to get it back into glowing ball form?
I didn't even think about the reverse magic, but I had the same thought. I'm like, well, I would assume so because it's not laying around the house.
Yeah,
but maybe you just have to literally just put it back in the bag and then it does the magic on its own. I don't know. Maybe.
Okay, that would make sense.
I mean, I don't know why it has to come out in a magical ball form in the first place, but you know, well, why can't it be like the Mary Poppins bag, you know?
Oh yeah, just bottomless bag. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I forget what is it in Santa Claus.
It's the Mary Poppins bag.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, because at one point he pulls out like a canoe or something, a kayak.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't really understand what the trick was with this bag. Like, how do you, because when Ernest is using it, he just pulls out all sorts of
shitty toys.
Shitty toys and a fish. Yeah. And so, yeah. Is it like, is there something to being Santa that you are able to pull out the cool stuff like the Super Nintendo and the Super Soaker?
Yeah. No, I have no idea. That's what I was wondering, because it's like, I think that's what it's saying, is that he can't make anything good. And it doesn't seem like Harmony is making anything good either, though. Yet she keeps trying.
I think the impression that they're under is that they're just pulling out these things that are what other people want, but that's not what they want. Like, they consider it bad, but somebody else might consider it good, which I didn't ever, like, I kind of thought it the same way. So I'm actually, I'm really intrigued by your guys' thought process, because I was like, I think they're just pulling out all the wrong stuff, and that's why she keeps trying, because she was like, come on. I think she says in there, somebody must have wished for something like this or this, like a diamond ring or something like that. So
they're not pulling out anything nice, though.
No.
Like, it's like the Island of Misfit Toys from Rudolph. You know, that's what they've got. They've got the Charlie in a box. That's what they're pulling out here.
I was going to say that. I hope this doesn't offend anybody, but what I saw when they said is like, this is what I would imagine it would be like if your parents were forced to like buy your Christmas presents from Dollarama.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the Santa's Anonymous pouch is what that is, you know. They get the extra bag, the stocking full of stuff. These are the stocking gifts are what these are. I lost that. Yours was a better I'll cut it out after your metaphor, because yours was better. Mine just got mean. Santa's Anonymous does great things.
They
get the good shit. Yeah. I tried to backpedal. Support your local Santa giving charity.
I was gonna say, when I donate to Santa's Anonymous, it's Toys R Us or nothing.
That's right. Yeah. So now we end up with the elves showing up undercover, and we get another funny scene with the customs agent putting them through. Oh, I guess I was going to say the elves show up for the reindeer, but I forgot to mention the moment when Animal Control comes in and says, oh, well, flying reindeer, that's not us.
Yeah.
But yeah, so now the elves are there to pick up the reindeer. This results in Ernest spiking the tires as he tries to drive them out of there. So good thing Ernest is on your team. Like you said near the top, it's like, it's not Ernest saves Christmas. It's like Ernest bumbles his way through, you know, stalling everybody else, I think, is basically what this is. You know?
Yeah. It's like Ernest, the movie should have been called Ernest Kind of Helps Santa.
See, I was thinking everybody else saves Christmas despite Ernest.
Yeah. Or that.
Yeah. Or just simply like, yes, Ernest, there is a Santa Claus. You know, because that's his role in this movie, is being like, oh, I believe in him.
Mm-hmm.
I'll convince everyone else to believe in him now. So when they end up flattening all the tires on the truck, we end up just getting Ernest flying the sleigh. You know, he poorly, like flying in heavy quotation marks. This seems like a very complicated sleigh, and he seems to have torn a lot of pieces off of it for Santa to be able to safely fly this later that night.
I'm 100% positive that you get like a brief shot of the sleigh panel, and I feel like that it's just all painted white with some buttons, but there's like a viewfinder on it.
I thought there were a bunch of other like knobs and dials and, you know.
Oh, maybe. I was watching it on YouTube and the color was kind of faded, so that might be true.
Oh, well, okay. I don't know. I just thought there was enough gauges that it, but he is pulling levers and stuff. Like, he, you know, the brake or whatever, the emergency brake. It just, isn't Santa going to need that later tonight? Thanks for ruining my sleigh. But so they've got the Air Force after them, but they lose them by going below the radar. It is a fun chase scene. Like, as much as it's just really Ernest not knowing how to fly the sleigh, why aren't the elves flying the sleigh, first of all? Like, yeah, isn't that why they're there? What are they there for? All they're doing is backseat driving and not well. They're not giving him any useful information at any point.
Yeah, like, I didn't even really understand the point where it's just like, it seems like they've just been flying around the globe in outer space for hours.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. like Superman trying to turn the Earth backwards. You know, it's... that's what Ernest is trying to turn back time. He's trying to buy Santa 5 more minutes by turning back time. So Pamela/Harmony, who is waiting at the train station, she brings the sack back. Santa knew it would happen all along, and Joe becomes Santa. He shows up just in time. And the new Santa, remembering the person on the plane that the old, or because the old Santa remembered the person on the plane, makes it snow in Florida. So that should last long. Like, how far will Christmas magic get you? Are you going to be able to keep that going once you go back to the North Pole? Or are you giving this guy 5 minutes of snow?
Probably 5 minutes of snow.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people working on Christmas Eve. Like, this guy, he's on a phone call, and then he sees it snow, and then he's like, oh, it's Christmas Eve, we'll deal with this later. And they're trying to sign Joe's Santa sleigh deal on Christmas Eve. They're filming on Christmas Eve. Like, I don't know, I figure more people would be taking that night off.
Daytime, maybe. Early. Nighttime? Not a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless the sun sets at like 3 p.m. in Florida in Christmas time.
I mean, it does here, so.
Yeah, that's true. So Ernest makes it back just in time as well, with all these new people meeting up with Santa. And we get the air brakes. and so Joe's going to be doing the Santa Claus thing for the first time. And no one goes along with him, or were the elves still with him?
Elves were still there.
Okay. Because they weren't helping Ernest. Are they going to be helping Joe?
Probably not.
No? Okay. Yeah. They were just sitting in the back screaming.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, lesson number one, how to control the reindeer from flying out of control. Yeah. Yeah. So Santa is now back to being Seth Applegate. And he gets his game on with Miss Mary Morrison there.
Ow, chicka, wow, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was an unexpected, like, those guys are clearly, sparks are flying.
Yeah. Well, so are we saying that this particular Santa has no Mrs. Claus, or does Joe inherit Mrs. Claus?
Oh. Oh, that's a weird thought.
Well, here's the keys to the kingdom and the ring to my wife.
Oh my god, I didn't even think of that.
I think it's because Mrs. Claus is like a Stepford wife.
Oh, she can just be reset?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
He does make toys. He's alone. He probably went on that murderous rampage years ago and then had to build his wife.
It all makes sense.
Oh my god.
And so we get a little tag at the end of the movie with the Easter Bunny and the guys at the airport. And the end. I thought
that was a nice touch.
Yeah.
The Easter Bunny?
Yeah, I thought that was funny.
Well, there we go. That is Ernest Saves Christmas. Now, Colin, Marissa, on IMDb, it scored 5.6 out of 10 and has a Metascore of 44. On Rotten Tomatoes, it has 36% on the tomato meter and an audience rating of 42%. But, Colin, those are just numbers. Like reindeer's antlers falling off? Hit us with some reviews!
Sorry, just need a second. I switched my my page here when I was doing my Prussia research. Harley Abner gives the movie 5 out of 5 stars and says, "This is the most heartwarming, earth-shattering, children-friendly cinematic masterpiece of all time. It's a fine cuisine, and anyone that watches it has impeccable taste. It made me, as a grown woman, cry 3 times, to be exact. Come to think of it, it might be too much for a child. However, I think it's still important that they watch it because it really makes you grow as a person. The reindeers are so realistic, it amazes me every time. Every time I watch this, I feel I'm being born again. I personally recommend watching it every day to improve mental health and rather than spending trillions of dollars on a therapist. I think I've said enough so that you know this movie is mid, but in a good way. I don't know what that means. Love you, Ernest."
Maybe it was supposed to say mad, but in a good way.
Yeah.
I do like the reindeer on the ceiling. I thought that was a nice fun little effect or whatever. Fun little moment. Not appropriate for kids though. I think this one is far more appropriate for kids than Ernest Scared Stupid was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even for the fact that it doesn't have little asshole kids that come and ruin a haunted house.
Oh, this one's gonna be good. Jojo Justice says, "I was on my way to the fitness room when the movie started this morning and it caught my attention. My workout is now going to have to wait until after Ernest Saves Christmas. I love the movie except for the character Harmony. The actress is terrible in the role. The words are right, but the delivery ruins the film. Ernest and Santa make the film worth watching."
Aw. Well, don't skip leg day.
Yes. Don't.
Sure.
All right, let's see what Rotten Tomatoes has to say. Oh, wow. This is a scathing review from Time Magazine's Richard Corliss, who says, "It's only marginally insufferable, the Ernest movie is, a big screen example of the TV sitcom tendency to go broad and sappy with a token Yuletide show each December."
Wow.
Hey, Scrooge.
I know, right? This nameless reviewer gives the movie 3 out of 5 stars and just says, "It's an earnest movie. You should know what you're getting into by this point. If you have fun with Jim Varney's character, there's no reason you wouldn't like this. If you're a hater, just keep walking. This is probably the most refined, polished installment of the series."
That is the most accurate review I've ever seen or heard.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much. You know what you're getting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still blown away that Santa is the Sultan from Aladdin.
But you can hear it now, can't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely can.
Yeah.
Aladdin is my favorite Disney movie, so I'm actually a little bit disappointed in myself that I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah. Well, the parrot is Gilbert Godfrey.
So yeah.
Thanks. Oh, okay. I did know that.
Okay.
That is one voice.
I don't know. It was always a trip to me that DJ's boyfriend from Full House was Aladdin. That's the one that always threw me off when I first found that out. Because, I mean, Aladdin was back in the day where you didn't really think about who the voice actors were. I mean, with Aladdin, it was like, it was a Robin Williams movie, and you didn't give a fuck about anybody else. Gilbert Gottfried was a nice touch.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's like, DJ's boyfriend? Steve? Steve is Aladdin? What the fuck?
Anyway. Well, especially when they threw it into an episode, too.
Yeah. That's right.
All right, we'll cap off with this one. It's okay, I have two actually. Just this other one is pretty good as well.
Okay.
We have Dan M, who gives the movie 2.5 out of 5 stars and says, "Reviewing this as a kid, I'd probably give it 4.5 or even 5 stars. As an adult, I know it's on the sillier side of the Christmas movie spectrum. It's an earnest movie, after all, so you have to forgive a lot of the wacky shenanigans that happen here. Nostalgia factor included, I put it in between a 4.5 I put it in between a 4.5-star rating and the mess that is. I don't know how to read this. I put it in between a 4.5-star rating and the mess that is Master of Disguise, the worst comedy of all time. So average it is.
Okay.
Master, and then
poor Master of Disguise taking an unnecessary beating over here.
Yeah.
Dana Carvey's opus, Master in Disguise.
And the last one is from Matt G, who gives the movie 1.5 out of 5 stars and says, "The story of a misguided meth head with an inexplicable talent for impersonations who teams up with a bratty runaway and a deranged old man to cause loss of property damage, sink an entire movie studio, confuse a sad and lonely man, and even seemingly kill a couple of people. Oh, and I guess they save Christmas somewhere in there too."
You know, the only thing that's missing is, but it's an Ernest movie. You know what you're getting into. Right on. So, yeah, 5.6 and 42 out of audiences, 44 and 36 out of critics. Critics rating higher, audiences rating lower than the other Ernest movie we watched, or at least one audience is rating lower. The Rotten Tomatoes audience for Scared Stupid, I remember that being up over 50 somewhere. So it's strange where the numbers fall, because for me personally, I think Ernest was used the right amount for an Ernest movie. This is one of those where it's like, yeah, I liked the Vern scene, and knowing that this, I don't know what to believe with trivia now. I mean, I was going to say, to know that this is the only Ernest movie with a Vern scene, now I have to go and watch all the Ernest movies to make sure, because I don't believe trivia anymore. But I enjoyed the physical comedy of that scene of him putting up the tree. I enjoyed the heart of this movie. But I liked that Ernest wasn't the dead focus, and I definitely enjoyed this a lot more than Ernest Scared Stupid. If I gave Ernest Scared Stupid a 30 or 40%, I mean, this is a 50 or 60%. I see why I loved this as a child. I don't think it's going to make its way back into my regular Christmas movie rotation, but it was nice to see it again after all these years, and this one was much more of a warm hug than Scared Stupid was for me. So, Marissa, what about you? What did you think of Ernest Saves Christmas on this viewing?
Listen, that review that you read literally defines it. It was like, it was a dumb but heartwarming movie, but I'm like, but it's Ernest. This is why I watch it. It's moments like when they dump the snakes into the back of the truck and he goes, I'm like, oh, there's Ernest I love. It's one of the, like, you don't even, it's Ernest, I think, all of the movies is like, nothing makes sense, everything is stupid, and you just don't give a shit. Like, it's just one of those movies.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, you know what? And I agree with you. Yes, again, I own 3 of them. I do want to go watch Camp and Jail. Like, that's the only thing that I wanted to do this week. So I probably will. Hopefully they're not ruined for me. But it's Ernest. That's all I can say. It's Ernest.
Yeah. And it is one of the ones that's a bit more up there. I think so, yeah. Colin, bring us home. What about you? Ernest Saves Christmas. Is this now going to be an all-time holiday classic for you?
No, but I didn't hate it. I actually thought it was a great Christmas movie, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I think for all the reasons that we've mentioned, like, I like the Santa story, and not having Ernest as the main focal point, I think it's like when he does show up, I appreciate him a little more. Mm-hmm. But I think overall, like in comparison to Scared Stupid, it's just the story itself is just a little bit, I don't know, more clear and maybe more interesting.
Yeah.
To me. Yeah. And I think it's a good, like, it's not going to be necessarily my Christmas rotation, but like, I think it's a great Christmas movie.
Yeah. And good for Seth Applegate, because I mean, he's gonna get some. Mary Morrison gonna get freaky with Santa. Oh boy. Yeah, no, I'm glad that you liked it. I'm glad that you didn't hate it. You know, it's a Christmas miracle.
You know, I would say that I would say that I liked it.
Yeah. Right on.
Yeah. Like it was enjoyable. Like because I watched both movies in the same week, when it came to which one do I need to watch again, I was like, I need to watch Scared Stupid again, unfortunately, because it just it was so hard to watch. whereas when I watched Ernest Saves Christmas, I found myself interested enough in it to enjoy it while I was watching it.
Right on. Well, there we go. That is Ernest Saves Christmas, and that's our show for this week. Oh boy, a big, huge thank you and Merry Christmas to our special guest, Marissa Dingle, joining us for more Ernest. Thanks so much for being here, Marissa.
Thanks again, guys. Merry Christmas, and thanks for the trip down memory lane.
Oh yeah, such a pleasure. Maybe we'll have to see if we can sneak one more Ernest movie in at some point in the future. We'll get Colin to watch Ernest Goes to Jail or Ernest Goes
or
to
Camp.
Yeah.
Come on, guys! I want to watch Ernest Goes to Africa, a slam dunk Ernest. Let's see how Ernest deals with the
sensitive issues.
Sensitive issues of the day.
Spoiler alert, not well. Oh boy. If you like that show, one thing you can do to really help us out is, well, just tell people. Give us a Christmas present this year and tell your friends and tell them to download our show and just help spread word of mouth to get more earballs on this show. Or if you want to go even further for us, go to whatever app it is you listen to and give us some stars. Just like the one that the wise men follow to the baby Jesus. Give us some stars and a review and help drive us up the charts. Help us get noticed. Or if you want to become a producer of the show, go over to patreon.com/IUsedToLikeThisOne. Become part of our Patreon family and you become an executive producer and get a shout out just like executive producer Joshua Blum.
And be sure to check out our website, www.IUsedToLikeThisOne.com. where you can find links to all of our podcast episodes as well as our social media pages. We got Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all that good stuff. And if you want to drop us a line, you can do so at IUsedToLikeThisOne@gmail.com and let us know what movies you used to like, and maybe you'll find us talking about them on the show.
I Used to Like This One is created by, hosted by, and produced by Sean Wells and Colin Stewart. It is edited by Sean Wells. Music by Lyndon Carter. Look for his band Carter in the Capitals anywhere you listen to music. And if you want to hear more from me and the stories of my being a bus driver, check out my other podcast, In Front of the Yellow Line, anywhere pods are cast. Season 2 coming this month. Thanks for listening. And join us next week when we take a look at another movie on I Used to Like This One.
It seems like I lost what I was going for. Never mind.
According to Santa's passport, he's from Prussia, though. I'm going to have to find some sort of Prussian anthem.
Yeah.
And see if I can underscore all our Prussia research with that.
Oh, my God.